Well, it's a headline from yesterday that we want to flesh out and explain a little bit, or maybe put it in context. The headline was that Johnson & Johnson is partnering up with a couple scientists at Massachusetts General Hospital to develop and market a test that could spot a single cancer cell amongst billions of healthy ones. A bona fide breakthrough or a press release? We don't know, but Len Lichtenfeld is here to help us get some context. He's the Deputy Chief Medical Officer at the American Cancer Society. Good morning, Len.
Good morning, Celeste. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thanks for joining us. You know, a piece that you wrote about this, it kind of straddled the line between this is the holy grail and incredibly, enormously important, and hold on, guys, this could be nothing. So let's deal with the first part of that. Let's talk about this test as one of the holy grails of not just cancer research, but cancer treatment. What makes this single test so important?
Well, let's talk about the concept behind the test, because it's clear that over the past number of years, we have improved incredibly our ability to detect cancer at smaller and smaller sizes. But when you look to the future, the next 15, 20, 30 years, inevitably we are going to move in a direction where we find cancer either through a protein measurement in the blood or through a cell measurement, as this test describes, at a very much much earlier stages, even possibly to the point in the very in the distant future when cancer first develops in the body. So it's the concept that's so important. Not that this test is important, and we'll come back to that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
But it's the concept that's developed over the past number of years. You know, when I started my cancer training in 1970, we had to feel cancers. We had to do surgery to find a cancer. Now we can do a mammogram and find a cancer that's half a centimeter in size, a very small cancer. And this will take, you know, but that still represents many, many cells. We're moving further to the single-cell detection level, and that's what this test represents.
Right, and this test, to be clear, is something that could isolate single cancer cells. For patients who have had cancer or were treated for cancer, you could see if there's still cancer in the system. But let's move on now to the second part of your reaction to this test, which is, hold on, this could be nothing. What do you mean by that?
Well, I don't mean that it could be nothing. I think it's very exciting research, and please, I don't want to be misunderstood. I mean, the work that's gone into this, in fact, the American Cancer Society has supported this work. We think it's exciting with tremendous potential. So I don't think that the research is, quote-unquote, nothing. What I am saying is we must always be cautious with every announcement or what apparent announcement of new discoveries. This is not a new discovery, by the way, and we'll come back to that, I'm sure. But we always have to be cautious, because when we take the technology, when we take the opportunity, we take the discovery and move it from the lab into the clinic, it doesn't always translate so smoothly or so spectacularly. There's a lot. Frequently, we get tests to market, and we have a test, but we don't know what to do with it. We don't know if it really helps or doesn't help. So I'm asking people to be just a little bit cautious in understanding that, yes, this is exciting research. It really is something that could revolutionize cancer detection, cancer treatment. But let's just have a little bit of tempered enthusiasm as opposed to being wildly enthusiastic when we read a press release as the one that came out yesterday.
Well, doctor, maybe we should have a lot of skepticism, in fact, rather than just a little, in the sense that philosophically, I'm wondering if there's a real conflict between this probabilistic kind of model for cancer detection, where the body is a set of probabilities of cancer occurring. And this test sort of, it seems to me, adds to the probability issue, but doesn't necessarily provide a useful sort of, all right, what do I do now? Particularly if you're talking about a single cell. If you can't find the single cell, it's just sort of a piece of information you take home and, you know, just be depressed for the rest of your life.
Well, you're looking far into the future, but I tried to make that point yesterday in the blog that I wrote. And that's your point is very, very well taken. We are moving to a point where we're finding cancer earlier and earlier and earlier, but we're the victims of our own success. And the reality is that some of the cancers, in fact, we don't know the percentage, it may be more than we suspect, of the cancers we find may never cause a person harm during their lifetime. So we need to, parallel to all this very exciting type of research of finding cancer earlier, we really need to be cautious in understanding we need parallel research to help us understand which of these cancers are truly aggressive and require treatment, and which are a little bit more, not so much benign, but a little bit less aggressive and may never cause a person any difficulty and not require aggressive treatment with chemotherapy, radiation, or surgery.
Well, that's as I understand it, that's slightly different than the test we're talking about here, which would be mostly used to on existing cancer patients to see if they need to be retreated, if the cancer is still in their system, to see if it's aggressive or not.
Well, that's true today, but you always have to look 5 and 10 years down the line. So what may be true today won't be true in the future. This test has the potential to be used as a screening test. It's very possible the researchers at some time may take blood samples from a large population of people and see if they can find cancer cells in otherwise normal people. And if that happens, then what does that mean? And there's been research along that line in the past. It's not a new concept. It's not revolutionary, but it is a potential use of this technology. And when we get to that point, I mean, one of the exciting part is we can find cancer early, but the part we have to be concerned about is, what do we do about that cancer? So, like I said, we need to have additional research to help us understand when we find these cells, and even in patients with cancer. We may find a patient with localized cancer with a circulating cancer cell. We still don't know necessarily what that means. It may mean that some people may not be good news, but other people may have no meaning at all. The body may deal with it. So there's a lot to be learned yet. So the road is never as straightforward as one would like it to be when we talk about translating laboratory research to the bedside or to the clinic.
All right. Well, that is Len Lichtenfeld, Deputy Chief Medical Officer of the American Cancer Society, kind of boiling it down for us. Keep your gee whizzes in check, he says, when you evaluate this test. Thanks so much, Doctor.
And thank you.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, the New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for the New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.